All right, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Jefferson County Commissioners Court meeting for June 15, 2021 at 10:32 a.m. And we'll call this meeting to order. We previously had a closed session. And we'll begin our meeting today with an invocation led by Commissioner Spears, followed by the pledge of allegiance led by Commissioner Bush.
Appreciate it, Lord. Dear God, we pause now to thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for all the many wonderful things that you have given us. We ask that you be with us in this meeting and the folks that we represent. God, it's in your way to do your will. And God, send me pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please join in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we have a rather short agenda today. Agendas go. We'll begin our items under purchasing. Item A is execute receipt file contract renewal for inmate health care services for Jefferson County for a second one-year renewal with Core Health LLC from April 7, 2021 through April 6, 2022 with a 3% consumer price index increases stated in the terms of the contract. I'm going to propose on item B, which is to consider and approve execute receipt file contract renewal for a term contract for pest control services for Jefferson County for a second one-year renewal, that we do a 30-day extension with added to Boyd Termite Pest Control from June 15th through July 14th, 2022 with a 3% increase in price. We have shown on attachment A, and I explain why in just a minute. Item C is to consider and possibly approve the removal and replacement of the second floor air handler and condensing unit at the Port Arthur Courthouse with signature group in on $18,576 for the Region 5 contract and fund the capital project. Do I have a motion on those items?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, moved by Commissioner Senegal, seconded by Commissioner Alford. And I'll tell you why I want to do the 30-day extension. I was talking on the phone with the GLO the other day about the CDBG hazard mitigation contracts, and walking around and noticed a crack on my window sill and touched it and it just caved in and all kind of termites came pouring out. Had the same thing in my clerk's offices, same thing down on the third floor and several other lodges.
Allison's
office down on one. And I would like to see us spend the money to engage the services of an entomologist, somebody from Texas A&M or somewhere, to come in and look and see how we take care of this problem all, you know, once and for all. We should at least get some advice as to whether or not we can. Because they're coming in and spraying when we detect them, but we're not doing anything to eradicate them. I don't know whether we have perimeter subterranean termite traps around the perimeter of the courthouse, but we need to figure out something to deal with this issue. So is the motion and second for a 30-day extension as opposed to a year?
Motion second is for that. Patrick, I just want to have a question on a couple of things. But haven't we paid in the past to have people come out to deal with this, what he just explained?
I know at one time they had the things on the ground, you know, the little traps.
Right, and at one time, and I believe we did have an entomologist come out, but that's been
some time ago.
Years ago, sir.
Okay.
And
okay.
I think we
because the big thing was the moisture in the courthouse.
Right.
So did the windows. Fixed everything in here.
And so, during that process, I think we found that some of these subterranean termites came in through the portal. Some situations that are not necessarily correct. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, and I can't remember if we sit here right now, Commissioner, but the ones he found in the ones that came out of swarming out the other day, he said were Formosan. And I can't remember if those are subterranean or if those are a different species, but I'd sure like us to get an answer that's going to allow us to attack this problem successfully.
No questions.
Okay. Everybody's okay with that? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? As have it, and the county auditor, I may consider approving budget transfer health and welfare two in the amount of $40,000 for additional costs for burial. Item B is consider approving budget transfer from the county judge for replacement of a laptop in the amount of $1,531. Item C is consider approving electronic disbursement for $676,101.39 to a fall for revenue received from entities for MMA housing. And item D is regular county bill check numbers 483369 through 483609. Do I have a motion on those items under audit?
I'll make it. Second.
Okay, moved by Commissioner Pierce, second by Commissioner Alford. Discussion.
This is a question. Frank, when it came to you with these burials, you wouldn't have a problem in house because I had to stop by a couple of funeral directors, and I want to make sure we wouldn't have any problems in house.
I think we have just a little delay on some payments, but we're getting them coming up.
Okay, then, because I'm going to meet with her and that staff.
Other question I had on item B, on my laptop, I know when we ordered laptops, anybody here from MIA?
They're probably the control.
Some of them, maybe you know the answer to this, Patrick, but some of them cost $1,250, some of them cost $1,500 or $1,600, $1,700. How come mine cost $1,531 as opposed to the $1,245 that the other one cost?
Get the bed.
I see there was something came back a bid or a quote, I don't know exactly.
If it's not software,
it's software. It's quote.
Well, one, there was already some funding in that line item to cover the other portion of that cost, some of the $1,200. But there is, you have the hardware piece and then the software license, depending on which office product or if you need Adobe. Those
would
kind of adjust the price.
So okay. They come in at $1,200, $1,400, $1,500, $1,600 is because of line items and software, because I thought it was all software with most of them.
Yes.
Okay.
Mostly we've had a couple that had some money in there.
Okay.
Because maybe budget $1,500 cost like $1,366, well then they ended up getting a second computer, so we utilized what was already still left in that line item to kind of offset some of the cost.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Having a county tax set collection, we have one item. A, consider and possibly approve a resolution giving permission to the sheriff to conduct an auction to sell property currently held by Jefferson County, the entity for which it's collected to be held on the first Tuesday of August 2021. Do I have a motion on that?
So moved.
Second. Commissioner Bush, who seconded it? Commissioner Pugh. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Yeah, I have it. And that completes our very short agenda today. So now we'll have time for public comment. If you're watching online by Zoom or on the phone, you need to press *6 to unmute yourself. If you're present in the courtroom, you may approach the lectern and identify yourself.
So, Judge and Commissioners, I've come to make you aware of something you probably already know. Property values have been increased because of cost schedules, but the number of protesters have almost tripled. And a lot of the concern, which you already heard, is flooding. Most of the property value, property protesters come in talking about their land, their property, home, the flooding over the past years, continuous flood. So I know that DD6 and Commissioner Pierce committee had several meetings. I've also heard that DD7 is concerned and involved. I'd like to think. think that the commissioners would collaborate on a plan to make sure that homeowners are getting this type of results and attention given to this flooding problem. We hear about all these rains and causing all this massive flooding. The amusing thing about country folks, and I'm one of them, we have a rain gauge. So when you tell us it's 16 and 18 inches, we got 3 inches in our rain gauge, kind of makes us wonder who's telling the truth, because when the rain comes out of the sky and go my gauge, we've been using gauge for a long time. It kind of indicates that there's a drainage problem. I offered and I gave up 25 feet of land, 1,000 feet long, to give a right of way for the issue, to clean up some ditches and stuff on my property. And I understand that other folks are trying to get give right of ways. To my memory, that was a plan some years ago to do some extensive work on Pound Bog and other places, also other outfalls. I do realize there's a lot of construction going on, but the folks that not showing up protesting about drainage, peculiarly, is on the other side of town. And it looks like all of the distressed areas, South Bend, Hampshire, Panette, population, but that's not the newer ends off of Dowling and Glass and stuff. They're not having any drainage problems, so it's kind of peculiar. They're not even the highest place in the land. So some way, somehow, someone has created an act against the first law of nature. Water does not go uphill. It's been pushed uphill to higher land, people drain. It's kind of funny, but it's true. I'm in one of the highest places in the city, I mean in the county. And when the 1,000-year flood came, my property barely got water up halfway up my front yard. Now 3-inch rain, I get water almost all up to my door. Water is not drained. It's been pushed uphill from other areas. There's blockage that needs to be maintenance work on ditches and outfalls. So I'm telling you, all these folks coming is a sign that something drastically is wrong. We used to have about 7,000 people. I'm on the appraisal review board. You're going to grin at this, but now we've got almost 14,000 people coming in complaining about drainage and their houses flooded. It's a serious problem. I know you all are concerned. I wish you all get together and Corps of Engineers, whoever, get an atomic bomb, a big hole or something to catch this water, because it ain't going to go away. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Barrett.
On June 28th at 10 a.m. at the Jerry Ward Conference Room, we're going to have a DVE open house.
Say that again a little louder.
DVE. Disadvantage Business Enterprise.
Oh, okay.
DVE. And what we do is inviting any and all contractors, companies in the area that are interested in coming to DVE. We'll explain to them how that process works. For our DVE program, and upcoming projects that if they were DVE, that would help us meet our DVE goals. So we'll be having that June 28th, 10 a.m. at the Jerry Ware Conference.
June 28th, 10 a.m.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Send me an email on that.
I'll send an email there, and we'll put a flyer out and put it on our Facebook page. Yes,
thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I didn't speak, but I wanted to talk also about the drainage issue. Obviously, it saves them a nickel. I got an email this morning from our association, and many, many people in our community has made phone calls to DDC, 86, about the drainage ditch. I've gone out there personally and taken pictures of a culvert that's supposed to remove water from several acres of property to the drainage ditch. And the culvert is actually installed at the bottom of the drainage ditch. So if that drainage ditch gets any amount of water in it, the culvert doesn't work anymore. That culvert should be installed at the top of the drainage ditch so they can pour water into the drainage ditch. So it doesn't work. So basically, we get any amount of water, it backs completely up, and it goes to the back of the property. And like I said, I got an email this morning from our association, and they said they made several phone calls to DD6, and no one's coming. I made one myself, because I have a neighbor who happens to be very, very low, and there's a house right next to him that's probably 48 inches above his slab line. So if we don't try to get some water, you know, off the back of his property, any amount of rain is going to drain him out. So I kind of want to make that point.
And you said DD6 did not respond?
I called him personally, and like I said, the email I got this morning said everyone in the community has made calls to him, and no one has come out. And I have pictures to show that the culvert is not installed.
They get in touch with you today.
Okay.
So, guys, mine has nothing to do with flooding. Okay. But it is very important to me. One of our officers passed due to COVID last August the 10th of 2020. So on tomorrow, an organization in our country called Beyond the Call of Duty, End of Watch, will be coming to town to honor not only our officers, but also a Beaumont police officer. They're going to have a caravan of people coming across the country that will end up at our correctional facility tomorrow for a reception honoring him. His wife and his children will be there. So I want to invite all county employees, or you know, any of you, if you can attend. You'll probably see throughout the city, you know, police officers and peace officers lined up on the highway as they escort, you know, 18-wheelers in with a memorial to all the officers who died in the line of duty, and specifically our correctional officer, Dudley.
Mm-hmm. What time is that?
1 p.m.
1?
Anybody on the phone or on Zoom wishes to speak, needs to press star 6 to unmute your line.
Tim, for
percent of the homes in Green Acres, for instance, in that flood a few weeks ago. Our system is designed for a 13-inch rainfall. Drainage district reported 16 in 12 hours. Ours is designed for 13 inches in 24 hours. Drainage district recorded 18 inches in 24 hours with 16 inches of it coming in 12 hours. So, you know, a lot of it has to do with location of the worst intense storms, the duration, so its intensity, duration, number of inches, it varied, but if it overcomes the system, you know, and people aren't going to want to hear this, but there's going to be flooding in events, but the flooding is getting less, which is a little consolation to a person whose home is actually flooded, especially those who have flooded repetitively. There's been a lot of mitigation grants that we applied for during the first round of CDBG mitigation grant funding. We did not get anything in Jefferson County, the drainage districts, the cities, counties. While Galveston County did well, some of the inland coastal counties that had more socially vulnerable populations, because we found out that social vulnerability was scored higher, and they did not take into consideration in the scoring process the damage that a particular jurisdiction had actually suffered as a result of flooding. So as a result, B County, which didn't do bad in Harvey, got several grants with little damage, and we, who suffered significant damage, got nothing. Now there is a set aside, and I know that the Southeast Texas Regional Planning Commission, our Council of Government, will be getting at least $122 million for Orange Park in Jefferson County. I'm glad for that, but I'm also disappointed because Galveston County in round one, I think $179 million in grants. And so we're going to be working with two other counties to split $122 million. And
are you going to do it by population?
They're going to have to do, Shannon's going to have to do a method of distribution, but population and damage should be a part of it. We had a discussion. I think I met with the other county judges at regional planning last week, and with Mark Havens and Heather McGrone from the Texas General Land Office. And one of the other disappointing things is after having gotten the $2.2 billion set aside out of the CDBG monies in Harrison County in the city of Houston, it was announced that they were also going to get another out of round two, $750 million set aside, which may or may not meet with Housing and Urban Development approval out of Washington, D.C. So there could be a chance that additional $750 million will be coming back into the program for distribution among the COGS. Still going to be waiting to find out about round two and how we make application for our projects through there. The cutoff on the scoring was 79.8 points, I believe, and I think our highest scoring project, BD6, was about 78 point something. So we were the last project of DD6 that was not funded out of the 40-something projects out of 180 now. There was $1.2 billion in the pot, and they had $6 billion in applications. So we will continue to meet and engage the General Land Office. Also had a meeting with Mayor Partee and Congressman Weber last Thursday, I believe it was, to discuss the hazard mitigation funding. And as well, there's a lot of other grant opportunities that are out there that drainage districts are actively pursuing, which includes FEMA flood mitigation grants, brick grants, building resilient infrastructure in communities, the new Texas flood mitigation grants that will be available through the Texas Water Development Board. And so we're going to continue to work on it. Everybody on the commissioner's court is going to continue to actively engage the drainage districts as well as the governmental entities that that are responsible for awarding the grants. Some of the citizens that I've met with, ranchers and developers, have some good idea of some things that could improve drainage. The problem is that I think the drainage district agree with those suggestions, but we have not been able to get Corps of Engineers permits to accomplish those projects because of wetlands considerations. So we'll all continue to engage with them and hope that we will move forward with the resilience of our infrastructure, which certainly includes our residential infrastructure.
Judge, I want to add something to that. If you don't mind, come to the mic, please, Mr. Engineer. Come to the mic. We had a meeting with DV6, Mr. Durden. Our meeting consisted of show and tell. I had my engineer there. We had the TxDOT engineers there and DV6 engineers to basically show what my staff, when the rains occur, we normally go and clean the ditches and things to make sure water flow. We took pictures and video problems. We sit down with DV6, TxDOT, and we brought that to their attention. We just called it simple, show and tell. We showed them what we had, we told them what we saw, and asked them what they had in the till to probably correct those situations. They gave us a list of things that they already had planned. So they are planning and doing things, but like the judge said, you know, it was brought to my attention, they had a $60 million grant in the first round of GLO funding. He said it, but he said it kindly. I still have a burr up my saddle, and it was zero to Jefferson County, which was 85% flooded. Effective. So with that, and letting you know, there's things going on. There are, without a question, there's ranchers, there's retired engineers, and individuals that live in these different locations in the rural area. Gave tremendous ideas. DV6 is open to those. I'm only speaking for DV6 because that's the one I deal with in my precinct. So they are open. They are applying for other fundings. And they are now, without a question, out there working. And at some point in time, Jefferson County, per se, may have to look at how we can help DV6 alleviate or make more aware some of the, with all of the large, 85% of the county being rural, and those ditches and things that go through our precincts, well, we may have to have some kind of help to them on flood control levels, things that we can direct them to as problems in our different precincts that may benefit everybody. That's just something that's on the table that I've thought about and looked at, but at the same time, I think we still must put the pressure on the General Land Office because I think we were done unfair. I'm just going to be frank. That's the way I am. I think we were done unfair as a county, and I think that we need to go after funding without a question for the second round. I've already talked to some of the people in the Harris County, some of the Congress people over there, because I feel that we got to do whatever we can in partnership with who we can to make sure we make it better for the citizens here. I had a personal meeting. It was a constituent called a meeting at my precinct because we have a community room. In that community room, it was packed. Tremendous amount of ideas, tremendous amount of concerns came from. I visited with the director of DV6, not the engineers or anybody else, directly to him to let him know what the citizens were saying for a reason. That was our inaction. Our engineer brought some very good points to TxDOT because of her experience in Orange County with the COVIDs and things that was across the interstate to get cleaned out. They committed and cleaned it out. We even sitting at the table. TxDOT, they are in the process of granting DD6 a ditch that would directly send water straight to Taylor's Bayou, which would take some water off people. It's a big problem, and everything we hear is the flooding has changed from small amounts of rain to what it used to be, a large 100-year flood. Now it looks like any event, and people are, without a doubt, we all understand and know they are very upset. So it is without a question upon us to make sure we're doing the best to relate that to the entities and do everything we can do. I think those things are being done. Ms. Engineer, you want to add to anything I might have missed?
No, thank you. I think you captured it very well. I mean, the meeting that you were referring to that we had with TxDOT and the drainage district, it was a very, very constructive meeting. You know, we had maps out and we did talk about any of the pinch points and making sure that the pinch points were being looked at. You know, we talked about some of the crossings between DD6 and LNVA, which can be very problematic because those are siphons. And so we talked about those in addition to the TxDOT crossings to make sure that those are always cleaned out. Commissioner, I can just say if there's anything you need me to do to help, or if any of you guys need anything for us to do in our quest to get more funding, let me know. I mean, I'll go to meetings with you guys and do everything we can, because I know that it all needs to be for us.
The only other thing is, Mr. Lott, in the Finette Estate, I have had personal contact with people there. We sent the guy out, but you got to understand, it's a private subdivision. The owners of the property own those culverts. Now, DD6 has a large ditch in there, but there's a private subdivision. You have to make sure you meet with your association so you can do what you need to do on, you're right, leveling that pipe. That may not be DD6, so double check that.
That's a question, and you may know the property I'm talking about. It's,
come up to the mic if you don't mind, please.
You may know the property I'm talking about. It's Carolyn Lewis.
Yes, I know that.
Okay, so directly behind her property, there's an easement that has signs that says
DD6.
It belongs to DD6,
right.
No four-wheelers, no side-by-sides, no trespassing. So surely you can't ride a four-wheeler on it. I can't go and put a culvert on it. So that's why we made the phone call.
Okay.
Because they have to get water off their property, because I don't know if you do. There's no way to govern. Right now, the county doesn't govern what elevation people put their houses on. So someone next door to them literally put a house probably 48 inches above their slab. They were already low. So the next rain we get, they're going to flood.
The county governs a minimum, but not a maximum.
Exactly. So they're in a dire situation. So they're needing to get
some
ditches
to get the water off.
All the way back to that drainage, but they can put the ditches, but the culvert that it has to run to is too low.
I will make sure that DD6 is there. I will make a personal call to the director. Make sure we get somebody there.
Okay, and if they agree, if they'll hire a contractor to put the culvert in, they just didn't want to do it and you know.
Break the law.
Exactly, because it definitely saves some freshmen.
Right, yeah. I got you.
Okay.
I can appreciate everything that's been said, and I really appreciate all the attention, Commissioner Alfred Beard, and all the commission and judge given to this issue. I want to ring the bell, sound the alarm, because when homeowners come in, to lower their values on their properties, but also lower the assessment, which lowers the tax base, which also lowers the availability of funds to do the kind of things we need to do. So it's a ripple effect. You know, you have people complaining, Kim Marks used to be the president of the president board. When I told him the number went from 7,000 to almost 14,000 complainants, you can imagine if relief is given to all those people because of the flooding, what it's going to do to your tax base. So it's a serious issue that a lot of people don't know and understand. But when you lower that base, available funds and assessments, it creates a ripple effect. So I'm just trying to make sure that we understand the magnitude of the problem and how, and the ripple effect of it, the domino effect of it, how it's going to impact all of us. There are people wanting to sell their house and move out, and people leave. And we're talking about creating a community where the population is growing. Amusingly, it isn't growing here, and people are leaving for a reason. We don't want to give them a reason. There's things we can do. I appreciate everything that's been done, all the conversations that meetings have been had, just trying to make sure I sound the alarm on what this really is doing to the bill of funds and tax base.
So let me add one thing to you, Mr. Newton. I want to make sure that nobody misinterprets this. The appraisal district, Jefferson County Appraisal District, has nothing to do with Jefferson County Commissioner's Court.
That's right.
We are, right. We only vote for, an individual or somebody to put on there, but we have nothing to do with that. That sometimes, this past legislative session, they were trying to do some things and to a great degree, they're going to tie them to us. We have nothing to do with the decisions that they make. Those
Absolutely.
Decisions came from
Absolutely. The
Controller's Office upon them. So that's, I want to make sure we're different. So stop me and say we doing it.
Yeah, you're not raising the assessment. Yeah, you're correct.
Mr. Vero, I want to have one more thing too. Just want to thank you and your team. I know you talk about all the different folks that are protesting their appraisals. Your group is the one that's taking the extra money. So thank you.
Yeah, it's a sad day when people come in complaining about flooding, wanting to leave their home. So thank you all again.
Being here, we are adjourned at 11:10 a.m.